Let's talk about reactions to the Shroud and the research into the Shroud, how it might have been created. JJ, you described your what can be maybe characterized as a visitation, a psychic or a paranormal experience. I would imagine that that puts you into the loon category when you start talking to other scientists about your research into this thing.
Well, obviously, George, you've mentioned you have a paraphysical experience and you work with hard scientists, i.e. those who have advanced degrees in physics, mathematics, chemistry. Naturally, this is going to put you behind, quote-unquote, the intellectual eight ball where you're marginalized, and that is a factor of what has happened throughout the 20th century, but things are changing in work with Stanford Research Institute scientists and those in Europe, such as Dr. Krasnosheyev and Trofimov of Russia. With the Russian Academy of Science, my wife and I have achieved some breakthroughs, and we have published extensively in the European languages, and our Academy for Future Science is to look at a common ground where a new type of science guided by consciousness, physics, and traditional religion interpreted according to higher metaphysical linguistics and methodologies can open the door to compatibility and balance. I think this is the exciting dialogue of the 21st century, that the two hands of God, quote-unquote, or a divine essence can come together.
Now, I was going to say, it's not that much different from the UFO field. If for those people who get in and are open-minded and really want to do the research, even the scientists, they find out that there's a lot out there that they didn't realize. And it's the same with the Shroud. You know, if you're coming in skeptically and you don't want to look at facts or figures, but those scientists who have really done the study, really done the research, I mean, they're, if they're Jewish, they're starting to say, yeah, there's something really interesting here, that this looks like the Jesus and something happened to them.
Is it just skepticism, or is it outright hostility?
Well, traditionally, it was hostility of large heads bouncing against each other. But I feel with the avalanche of new material, again, I mentioned Krasnosheyev, who studied the mind over distant microbiological organisms, the work of my late colleague, member of our academy, Marcel Vogel at IBM, who was studying plant communication, the power of energy fields on distant interactions, by Dr. Goliath in Moscow, certainly the work of telekinesis and distant disturbances of mechanistic or mechanical systems by Robert Yon at Princeton, all show benchmarks of a whole new direction that I believe is going to be taking place in Europe and possibly in the Orient as people turn away from the traditional mechanistic models to the realization that we are part of a very dynamic process of evolution.
Let's talk for a moment about the attitude of the church. It seems like the church is comfortably ensconced in the middle. They're not going to take a position on the legitimacy of the Shroud one way or another. They just kind of say, you guys sort it out. We'll let science decide and let the research continue. That keeps the controversy going. I guess it keeps an interest in church beliefs. It probably is a benefit to them, isn't it?
In a certain way, it holds the hands of those who want to look just provincially and parochially at their own playing field. I feel with the information revolution going on, the global commons increasing knowledge exponentially, young people turning away from traditional theology into areas of experience, opens a whole new window of opportunity. And I do see the reevaluation of mystical experiences by the great thinkers and sages of the East, Near East, and for the matter of Native Americans, is opening a higher bridge to a common ground where we can see how we are part of an ongoing synergistic expression of life, and that we are all expressions of the divine spark that finds itself moving away from the residual repressed energy into a more active creative energy.
Well, what's really interesting is, of course, if this is the manifestation of Jesus going through his state into the next level of creation, then that opens up a whole new realm for all of us to realize that, in a sense, he might have been a way shower, even though we haven't been doing this, like people haven't died and gone into other life bodies. But in a sense, it shows that we have a connection with other realms of intelligence. Our DNA, our molecules, our atoms might have something to do with also what's going out into other levels of intelligence. We might have an interconnection. This is what the quantum field is all about, that we are all interconnected, that there's a whole process. We didn't evolve from the Earth through happenstance, or what a friend of mine calls the law of accident, that there might be some sort of mathematical perfection throughout the universe, and we're just one of those manifestations.
George, if I could read just again a little section from the Keys of Enoch, This is key 313, verse 15. Thus, the direct relationship between the size of the universe, the distance of the proton, and our or human range of vision is part of a larger mass energy space-time transformation, which involves changes in our basic concepts of the known universe. And so we are beginning to question scientific truth, scientific measurement, and realize we're part of a much larger experiment of life. The whole ontology of science, we believe, will be changing as we progress more and more into the dynamics of the 21st century.
Of course, you both have looked at other esoteric, strange, what some people would characterize as crackpot ideas, the kind of things that we talk about on this program all the time. The multiverse, quantum physicists looking at the idea that there are multiple universes, multiple realities, parallel dimensions, that sort of thing, which also leads into discussions of UFOs, gateways to other realities, that sort of thing. When you mix all that into the same bag and throw in the Shroud of Turin as well and discussions about your own personal experiences, I would imagine it's a steep hill to climb to convince someone that that this is something they need to take a look at.
Well, this is why field research is so important. And again, we work with people who are credentialed, who have taken time to earn their doctorates or their degrees in specific disciplines. And so we approach things holistically, and we feel that information just doesn't get out the doors because of people who want to sell books or whatever. But it has to be distilled, has to go through peer review, it has to go through levels of conversation with thinkers and researchers in various cultural traditions to see the larger global impact.
And as Dr. Jack mentioned earlier, Don Lin, he was at JPL. He was one of the top imaging specialists. And at the same time, he was very interested in imaging a lot of different things, even sometimes not only the STIRP team that he was a part of, which is the Shroud team that went in 1978, but he was looking at other things as well in terms of analysis on film. So these scientists are really, many of them are open-minded. They don't maybe come out of the closet, and hopefully more and more of them will. But they certainly have an interest in all these things that we've been talking about.
Go ahead.
There was an article in Nature magazine last year of how Indian scientists from the continent of India all put on their formal clothes for lab work and work at the university, but privately still entertain conversations with what they believe their spiritual guides. And in a conversation I had with Rupert Sheldrake, we did a document together, he said it's his opinion that we will see more and more changes emerging out of India and China, where people go back to other states of paraphysical knowledge and spiritual philosophy to see a much higher synthesis than has been presently permittable in the West, where we see either black and white. We have this dualistic hang-up of not seeing the pluralistic integration that is possible in higher levels of experience.
Meaning we see it as either it's got to be science or it's got to be religion, paranormal stuff. It can't be both. But you would suggest that there is a place, there is a point on the spectrum where all this kind of comes together, where the idea of Jesus as a supernatural being makes sense in the physical world.
This would be called the mystical body of the Christ experience, or what we would call in the Eastern traditions of the Vedas, the sutras, the light body or the rainbow body that is achievable by those who can briefly go into transformational states.